Again, it is so nice to be here tonight to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to speak of Him, the one who rejoices the heart of the believer, the one who is our everything, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who God the Father has sent forth, the one that He loves, and the one that can meet the sinner's need tonight, fully meet the sinner's need. And I want to read the text I'm going to read is in Mark 5, please. Can you turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 5? Mark 5, and we'll read a few verses. Mark 5, verse 25. Mark 5, verse 25. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch, I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see," notice it says to see her that had done this thing. "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And the next verse I'm going to read is, can you turn with me please to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, please. And then we'll read one verse here. It says in two verses for connection. Verse 32 and 33, it says, "And there were also two other malefactors or criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." And then one more verse in Acts 4. In Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The sense of urgency tonight is that we will be saved, that you will be saved if you're not saved right now, that you will be able to see where you are standing before God and how you are in such desperate need to be saved tonight, to be saved from our sins. So I'm thinking of this, remember this portion of scripture that we were reading earlier of how the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was walking from one man whose son had died. He was asking the Lord Jesus to a daughter of 12 years old had died. And he was beseeching the Lord. He was begging the Lord to come to heal his daughter. So this is where the story takes place. And as the Lord Jesus willingly, always willing to heal, always willing to be a help to people. That's the reason why he came, is to deliver. And here the Lord Jesus is now going with the ruler's daughter, the Jairus' daughter, and he is going to the place to heal his daughter. And it says, as he was walking, there is this woman. That's where the story is. As he's walking to heal this Jairus' daughter, who is going to die afterwards, and then the Lord Jesus is going to raise her at the end. But in the middle here, as the Lord Jesus is going to heal this daughter, and then afterwards he's going to raise her from the dead, in the middle there's this woman that brings in this story here of a woman that is in desperate need. She's in desperate need physically. There's a fountain of there's a flowing of blood that she had for 12 years, and so you think of the state of this woman. It says she had 12 years as well. Just like Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, this woman had this issue or this flowing of blood that could not be stopped, that could not be helped for 12 years. That's a long time, 12 years, of not being able to get any help. And it says, so she tried to get healthy. She tried everything she could. And so she was in this desperate state. It says she suffered many things. Notice many things of many doctors or physicians. So she had a real problem that just wasn't going away, and it was not able to help her. All that she tried, everything that she tried, she could not get better. And so she was in a desperate state. And not only was she not able to get better by all these things, she was also penniless. She had spent all that she had. So think of the state of this woman. Put yourself in her shoes. She's in a situation that she is in a desperate situation, physically, that she was going to die if this continues. And she had no more money. She had spent all that she had. And yet, after all of that, she was not bettered, but rather she grew worse. So it's a terrible state, physically, of what this woman had to experience. And the Lord, of course, he was there walking, and it says so here she is, and she has done all these things. You can see how she could have become jaded. She could have become thinking of, oh, there's no use. But she had heard of this one man that was able to heal, and he wasn't just an ordinary man. This story here, so she was hopeless, she was helpless, and she was desperate. And you could tell by the sense of the urgency that she had. So here he is, the Lord Jesus, walking in this place. And she heard of Christ. And she knew that he could heal her. She believed with all of her heart that she could heal her. And tonight, that is the same person that was able to heal this woman physically. Is the same person, the same one who can heal us spiritually. Who can make us right. We have read that last verse, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. So this woman had this terrible disease that she couldn't get bettered with, no matter how much she tried. It seems like the more she tried, the worse she got. And that is a picture of like ourselves with sin. Sin is has brought us into captivity. It is this disease that is in all of our hearts. It is unescapable. It is deep. It brings us into suffering. Sin brings suffering. And it all happened by our birth. This woman, it happened 12 years ago when this issue or this flowing of blood happened. But for us, we were born with this awful state of sin. It is like this, it has power over us, complete power over us. And no matter how much we try, we cannot rid ourselves of it. It is there in our very DNA, in our very nature. It's the very core of who we are, is this sin that is desperate, and it is in us, and it is each one of us. And religion, what it does, religion goes and tries to cover it up, and tries to put a blanket over it and says it's not so bad. It looks good. Tries to clean up because outwardly they try and suppress it and to try and show that it is not as bad. And they try and do everything to mask it before God, to try and put a veil over it, over sin. But yet we think of what happened there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Garden of Eden, when God made man. It says that's when it started, sin started. It says there, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into this world, and death by sin. So death, sin kills. It kills the people under whom it subjugates. Sin, it'll kill. And so death, didn't just stay with Adam, but it passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of us are accountable to God for our own sin, but we're born sinners. And that is the very thing that we must understand, is that we are by nature sinners. It says, and even David in the Old Testament, he recognized, he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And I'm speaking as one that is a sinner as well, inherently. I know this from birth. It didn't take long for me to produce sin. It's like this analogy. An apple tree, or a fruit tree, any fruit tree, an orange tree, whatever tree you might say, it doesn't begin to be an apple tree when it produces the apple, the fruit. It's because by its very nature, by its seed, what it is what it produces. And so we don't become sinners when we sin, as it were. We are sinners inherently by nature. It just comes out. And every single person is the same, apart from that one blessed person that we are here to preach tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer to our sin problem. He is the answer to this. So I'm just linking this, how this woman here was in such a condition, such a terrible state. And it says, we all are like in the same way, we're all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness, that are the things that we produce, the right things that we try and produce from this evil heart that we have, we try and produce good things. It says it's all tainted before God. God doesn't want it. It's filthy rags. Think of a filthy rag. When you get a filthy rag, you throw it out. It's filthy. God, that's how our righteous, seemingly righteous acts that we try and get favor with God, God says, I don't want it. It is as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Our iniquities have taken us away like the wind. And it says, so we think of how we cannot cleanse it. Even there in Jeremiah 2, it says, for though you wash yourselves with nitre or with lye and use much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says the Lord. So our iniquity, we cannot escape it. It is in us. It is the disease that cannot go away. And the more we try, the worse it gets, because it has complete captivity over us. It has chained us. And we're in a desperate state, just like this woman. We are in this desperate state. And she spent all, everything she had, and yet she did not get any better. And that's how, like religion, they try and do everything. We think of there in the Garden of Eden, how Adam and Eve, how they were trying to cover themselves up with fig leaves. That's what religion does, trying to cover up their sin, yet they felt naked before God. They realized that they were naked. And they were exposed before the eye of God. Their sin is exposed. So in God provided the covering. God will provide a perfect covering. And so just think of this situation here. She grew worse. But we think of this, our sin. It says the wages of sin is death. It says when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. So just go to a cemetery, any cemetery, you can tell that is true. A cemetery is there because of sin. Sin brings forth death. And not only death, but afterwards there is judgment. Afterwards there is separation from God for eternity. And that is, tonight the gospel comes to you and God wants to say, this is serious. This is desperate. Think of this woman. As she is walking, she is realizing she is in a desperate state. And unless she realizes she is desperate, and she knows that this person that she is going to touch is, in fact, going to completely heal her, she is trusting this. So she has hope. She has trust in the right person, in the right person tonight. That is the hope that in the gospel is to bring you to the right person, to preach the right person that can effectively heal us from every sin. And so our cure, that is our condition, is like this woman. She had a physical problem. We have a spiritual problem. And the same one, the same cure is Christ. He is the one. It says, as she heard of Jesus, she heard of him. She came behind a press and touched his garment. So she heard of Jesus She touched his garment. He is the answer, not another person's garment. She had tried many physicians. She had tried everything else. Nothing worked. But he was going to effectively heal her. The cure is Christ. The person of Christ is a cure. In him is all that virtue. The power is stored up in him. So as she touches him, this power, this channel is coming, and the virtue from his person is able to effectively and fully heal her and meet her need. Fully meet her need. Notice that. Fully meet her need. It says, so you should think of how she would have heard how he had saved others in the scriptures. She would have heard this. So that he had healed others. So she knew that he was going to heal her. She had faith. And we think of the cure for sin. What did Christ do? How is he able to save us from our sins? It says there in Matthew 1, the scripture declares, and as we can hear of him, we can hear just like she did. We hear of Jesus. We hear the gospel presented from the scriptures, from God's word. It says that, what does the scripture teach? It says in Matthew 1, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Not help us. Not help us. We don't need help. We need saving. We need to be saved completely by someone. We don't need to help have someone help us. That's like these physicians trying to come along and help her. And no matter sin, no one can help us with sin. Sin is so devastating. It is so powerful over the person that it completely, we're completely in captivity. But Christ, who is God himself, he is able to save from sin. He is Jesus. He will save his people. He will save his people from their sins. And it says in a few verses down, two verses down, it says, how is this possible? He's not just any other man. Here it says he is his name Jesus, the earthly man. But it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. The only one that can effectively deal with our sin problem is God himself. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ is none other than Jesus and also God with us. He is the man Jesus and God with us. He is God manifest in the flesh. So he is coming to deliver his people from their sins. He is the one that's going to deliver. So here it says, another one, it says, 1 John 4, verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So we need to be saved from our sins. We desperately need to be saved. But he is the Savior. He is the answer. And he is the one that can truly save. So how is it possible? How is it different? Well, he is to deal with our sin problem. Well, not only is he God manifest in the flesh, and he is Jesus, the man, the perfect man, he is one who did no sin. The Bible very clearly expresses that he did no sin. There was no action that he did, nothing that he did that would ever be any sin before God. There is no deceit in his mouth. Nothing that he said, his words were truth. He could say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He spoke truth. He could see, which one of you, is there any one of you that can convince me of sin? Anyone that can convict, that can point a finger and say he has sinned? There's people that tried. They tried to bring him before Pilate and bring accusations before him. And again, Pilate could, three times he could say, I find no fault in this man. He tried him. He could say, neither could Herod. Herod could find no fault in him. Bring him before the human court, they could find no fault in him. Even Pilate's wife, she could say, you could say, have thou nothing to do with that just person. I've suffered many things in a dream this night because of him. Have nothing to do with that just person. He is. The Bible says he is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Look at what a man he is. He is completely unique. He is altogether different. He is God's unique son. And when people looked at him, they saw a regular man by looking at him. He looked like any other ordinary man, but he wasn't any other ordinary man. He was very different by the things that he said, by the actions that he did, by no sin in him. The Bible says he knew no sin. The Bible says in him is no sin. So think of one who is all these things, this person of Christ, and he came for the very reason, the very purpose why he came is to save us from our sins. So you think of the cross, and we've read earlier, when they came to that place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And we think of how there was one criminal on this side of the cross and another criminal on this side of the cross, but in the center cross, they put the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, as they nailed him to the cross, you can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even there, it shows his heart, his gentle and forgiving heart. There was no, it says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. So as they nailed him to the cross, and the crucifixion was the most agonizing cross, that's where the word crucified, it was excruciating, it was invented. As he was hanging there on the cross, it says, there he was able to save us from our sins. That's where the cure. God didn't just turn his blind eye to our sin. Our sin in all of its evil before God, condemned, we're cursed, we have this sin. God says, you know what? He says, he was made a curse for us. Now picture this. It says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He, Christ, look at him being wounded for you. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace was all upon him. And by his stripe, we are healed. God says, you go free. There's no condemnation to the one that trusts in this one. God's love and grace shows you don't have to pay anything. God says, your sin, you can't do anything. God knows that we can't do anything, but he provides a perfect remedy. He provides the sacrifice. It says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Bible says, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You can walk around out here completely righteous today, trusting in another, fully trusting him. And think of this woman, and that's how I want to end. Not only did Christ die, but he also was raised again. Scripture says, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. He lives right now. The Lord Jesus living right now. He lives by the power of God. And so when we're saying trusting in him, we're saying, as that woman, grab a hold of him. Trust in him. It's like the faith grabs a hold of him. It touches him. That's faith. Think of the arm of faith. Links between you and him on the cross. Think of Christ. Not only is he on a cross right now, he is a living Savior. He is active. He is listening to you. He is ready to hear. He has his ears not heavy that he cannot save. He is ready to save right now. He is a living Savior that is just waiting. For he says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He is waiting to save. So just like that woman, trust in him. You shall be whole. You can walk out of here righteous. All God's righteousness to your account. God will make you righteous in his sight because of another. And so the last verse I want to read is, I'm just going to mention it. It says, the Lord Jesus there in Acts 26, he says to Paul, the apostle, says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is the living words of Christ. After Paul, he showed himself to Paul by faith in me. Is he saying that to you tonight? Trust in me by faith, not by works, but by trusting in him, in the person, and he will, effectively touching him, you will be completely whole, completely saved, forgiven, and right for heaven. So will you trust him? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven, no other name. There's no other person can help. There's nothing that you can do. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Because you are dying in your sins. You need to be saved. Saved, gloriously saved by another. Trust in that hand that's reaching out to save you. That's reaching down. Trust in his hand. Reach out to touch him by faith. Make that connection. Just like the woman, and immediately she was made whole. He met her need fully. And he will meet your need for eternity fully if you trust in him. Now, may our brother Ian, as it comes up here, may you be blessed. May you be saved. Saved by him tonight if you're not saved. May God bless his word.